Shall we turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5? 1 Peter chapter 5. And certainly does not match your bulletins, probably because I don't match your pastor. But it is a pleasure to be here. I like for once to be able to plan it a little bit ahead of time. But I'm glad to be here to fill in for your pastor who is not well today. We'll read verses 1 through 9, the text being verses 8 and 9. Hear God's words. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. The elders who are among you I exhort. I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessings to his word, that you will receive it with joy and obey faithfully. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, facing the devil is not an easy task. So this task must not be treated lightly. The devil is strong. He has a strong army. And he and his army know how to fight. They've been doing it for centuries. The devil and other evil spirits know the arguments against you. They know your weaknesses. Now, for the Christian, knowing how to resist the devil and actually resisting the devil determines how successful you will be in your Christian life. And by the way, this is in context of the first part of the chapter that deals with the rule of elders over the congregation, the submission of the congregation to the elders. Here is the key. How you resist the devil will determine how successful you are in your Christian life. And if you are not a Christian, knowing how to and actually resisting the devil is a matter of life and death for you. So each one needs to pay special attention to God's word today. We will study about resisting the devil today under two simple headings: knowing the enemy, and second, knowing how to fight the enemy. Our goals are that you will learn not to minimize the devil, but to realize the danger the devil and other evil spirits pose, and that you learn to become equipped to fight. And third, that you will begin to use the gifts of the Word of God and His Holy Spirit to equip you for this task. So realize the danger, become equipped with the Word and the Holy Spirit. That's the goal. The means to the goal would be studying under these two headings: knowing the enemy and knowing how to fight the enemy. The Apostle Peter here begins by saying, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, right off the bat, you realize that if the devil were not dangerous, Peter would not take all this time to warn you that the devil is your enemy, and that he will try to slander you, and that he will try to devour you. He is dangerous, and so the warnings are given in Scripture. But the first question we need to ask is, who is the devil? Well, you know, most of you will, the devil comes from the Greek word diabolos. It means accuser or slanderer. He was the leader of the rebellion in heaven when he and one-third of the heavenly host were thrown out and became evil spirits from that time on. When that took place in the space of eternity, we do not know, but we know he was already there in the Garden of Eden. Peter says that the devil is your adversary, a slanderer. Before we can talk about being sober and being vigilant, we must know against whom. And he says, the devil. Why? Because the devil is your adversary, a slanderer. This word slanderer is actually a legal word like a court of law, more like the prosecutor in a court of law. He is the one who comes and accuses you of breaking the law of God. And he accuses you before God the Father. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, we read, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. That's referring to Jesus. And Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Here is the devil ready daily standing to oppose God's people. Now, the reason I'm trying to emphasize this is because there is a trend of thought, especially in Reformed circles, that somehow every sin we commit is purely from our sinful nature. Now, our sinful nature certainly contributes to it. But this notion that the devil is somehow unable to tempt us is quite foolish, not based on the Scriptures. Look at what Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, a loud voice from heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. This does not sound like someone who is unable to tempt you to sin against God. For this is action that takes place day and night. The devil pleads that justice might take place and punishment might be inflicted on you day and night. He's not your friend. He's your accuser who would like to see you destroyed. And he's very diligent about his task. He wins many cases. How does he work? Well, the devil comes and traps you by whispering encouragements in your ear, and your sinful nature then responds to the promptings and encouragements from the devil. And then he is ready to accuse you. Aha! After you do it, after encouraging you, then he goes before God and says, this is what he did. This is what she did. You need to punish him. See, the devil has no shame. The devil accuses man to God day and night, and that is clear. But the devil has no shame. He even accuses God to man. That's what he did with Eve. God didn't really mean what he said. God's wrong. If he will accuse God, trust me, he will accuse you. He knows who God is. He knows the power of God. God was his creator. And if he will accuse God, make him to be a liar, he will certainly accuse you too. This is real, friends, and you should pay attention to it. He was there when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And by the way, he went when Jesus was hungry. And he will be there when you are weak also. You can count on that. He knows your weakness. If it's in front of a computer, He knows. And He will put those promptings in your ears when you think about wandering into websites that you shouldn't. He is there when you're in the supermarket and you're tempted to buy junk. He is there whispering in your ears. He is there when you're tired and the children have a problem and you want to leave some impressions on them or attack them. He's there because He knows when your weakest moment is. He knows when you're filling your taxes and you're trying to find out about all those deductions. He knows. If that's your weakness, He is there. Maybe your neighbors. He knows the problems. And He will induce you, because that is the way the devil works. He will use your friend, a spouse. He used Judas against Jesus. Someone who traveled with Jesus, was a friend of Jesus. For 3.5 years, they spent day and night together. He will use your wife, just like He used Jezebel against Ahab. He will use religious people, like the scribes and the Pharisees. He will use corrupt ministers and those who pretend to be Christians. You know the disappointment and how many people who have trusted in some of these televangelists who are now hurting. So many of them have been promised, you've been healed. Then find out that because they stopped taking their medicines, their cancer has gotten worse and they're going to die. He will use all kinds of people because He is a slanderer and He will make up any accusation He can against you. But the devil is not just a slanderer. He will not just say bad things. The goal is to devour. The devil is a devourer, which is the second part of verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The goal of the devil is to consume you, not to be your friend. Consume means to eat ferociously, to attack the food like a wild animal does. So the devil is not simply out to harm you, he is out to destroy you. And he will destroy you in usually one of two ways. First of all, the devil is a devourer of you as an angel of light. An angel of light refers to being a good person, being kind, being sweet. But it is all a pretense. Look at what 2 Corinthians 11:14 says. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. That's when he uses the subtle ways, like the wonderful family members, a husband, a wife, a friend, a mother, a father, a child, those who are close to you, he can use. You know, the worst enemy you can have is one who pretends to be your friend. That's the most difficult one to recognize, and that's what the devil would often use. Those who are close to you, those who are your friends. The end result is that he wants to consume you, to eat you. But there's also another way in which the devil may come after you. He will come after you as a roaring lion, as our text says. The lion itself is a symbol of strength, of rage, of malice, of cruelty. The lion attacks its prey without mercy. He grabs you by the neck and tries to shake you until he breaks your neck and then goes to feasting on you. That's what the lion does. And that's how the devil is described here in this passage. The lion itself has more muscle for its size than any other animal. It has more muscle strength than any animal its own size. No wonder this is the one used to describe the devil. And Peter himself faced this roaring lion in two separate occasions, and the lion almost devoured him. But for the sake of Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus was about to die. He denied knowing Jesus, Peter, swearing, "I don't know the man, I don't know the man." But remember what Jesus had said before that. He said, "Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat." He's asked for that permission. But Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you." Ah, so there's one of the benefits of fighting the devil, knowing that the Lord is daily making intercessions for us so that we do not have to give in to the devil. God protected Peter from totally abandoning the Lord and actually bringing him back from his sin of abandoning Jesus Christ. But then there was a time before that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 and following. The devil was using Peter then to suggest to Jesus that he should not die. For Jesus said, "I'm going up to Jerusalem and I'll suffer many things," speaking of his death. And Peter said, "No way, that's not going to happen." Because Peter was thinking selfishly. The devil had entered his heart by Jesus' own testimony and tried to get Peter to tell Jesus, "Forget about the dying part. Forget about the suffering. We need you here. We need you to set up a good military kingdom. We need to drive the Romans out and establish the nation again, like the time of great King David and Solomon." But Jesus made it clear that Peter was being used by the devil and rebuked him. Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." He spoke to Peter. For Satan, Peter was following Satan. "You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." You're selfish, Peter. And yet in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, Jesus strengthened Peter and the other disciples and said to them, "All right, Peter, now it's your turn. You denied me 3 times. You need to reaffirm your love for me 3 times. And guess what, Peter? You are going to be training people to protect themselves against the devil." He said, "Feed my sheep. Give them the food that will make them strong, that they will be able to do what we will talk about next, which is resisting the devil." Now, where is the devil today? Is he tied up in hell where he cannot tempt you? Where is the devil? Well, he is everywhere. That means he knows where you are. He and the other evil spirits know every Christian person in whom the Spirit of God dwells, and he has a mark on you because you are his special project. Those who are called by the name of Jesus Christ are marked by the devil for extra work. But brothers and sisters, there's one place where the devil is not. That is heaven. We need to prepare to wait for heaven, but we need to be ready to fight him now. We look forward for a time when he will not be there to induce us to sin. But right now we have to fight him. The devil is not simply everywhere. According to Job 1:7, the devil is actively seeking, looking, trying to find the ones he can devour. The Arabs actually call him the busy one, who never sits still. No lion waits for food to fall into its den. It actually goes out and hunts. Job 1:7 says, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.'" This is not an ordinary devourer. This is one who is going everywhere, moving back and forth to find the ones who have been marked by God so he could induce them to sin. And brothers and sisters, if the devil did not hesitate to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not hesitate to fight against you. You are much weaker than he, than Jesus Christ. But here's also a way the devil can devour you. He can often give you what you want in order to devour you. He will give sweet to those who want sweet and sour to the one who wants sour. But his pleasure comes at a price. Just like he told Jesus that he would give him the whole world if Jesus would simply bow down and worship him. The devil will work with other people who are around you. Maybe they'll offer you something that is sinful and dangerous, but it's something that you want. The end result is you suffer. The devil is not your friend. He is your enemy who will accuse you, and his goal is to devour you. But that's knowing the enemy. How do you fight the enemy? How do you fight the enemy? Let's now go back to the first part of verse 8. He says, be sober. This is speaking, of course, of being spiritually sober. It is not speaking of the opposite of being drunk from drinking too much wine, though that is certainly included if you drink too much wine. But the idea is to be spiritually sober, be controlled. And by the way, this is repeated from the first chapter of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Peter says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, at the end of the chapter, end of the book, he repeats the same warning again, being sober. This is foundational to fighting the devil. The devil will bring divisions among you if you let him. In the family, in the church, between husband and wife, between children and parents, between congregations. He knows the arguments. You need to fight him. First of all, you need to be controlled. And the repetition of words is not to waste words. God never wastes words. It's to emphasize something. He says, be controlled. Be sober, being sound of mind, being of an alert mind and an alert soul. Sober means to be awake, to control the characteristics given to you by God. You've seen what happens when people are not sober. You've probably known someone who was involved in an accident from some drunk driver. Hopefully it wasn't you, but someone else. You've seen what drunkenness does in a family where wives are abused, where children are abused. And I'm talking Christian families now. Drunkenness is not a pleasant thing. Spiritual drunkenness is worse. I think this can be the worst type of abuse you can have in a home. It's a spiritual abuse when the father is not level-headed. He's not controlled. Does not teach his children properly. Most men are good at providing food on the table. But one of the worst things you can do is to be drunk spiritually. But there's another part. He says not simply be sober, but be vigilant. Be on the lookout. You see, being vigilant depends on being sober. If you are not sober, you cannot be diligent. And even Jesus learned the need to be diligent. As he learned all righteousness, he learned while he was on earth, as of man. As God, he knew all things and did all things perfectly. But as man, he had to grow in this. In Matthew chapter 26, just before he died, verse 40, he says, the Bible says, then he came to his disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, interesting too, no wonder Peter talks so much about this. He said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Why was he wanting Peter to watch? Not simply to fight. Remember, Jesus told Peter when Peter was ready to fight and pull his sword out and cut off someone's ear. It wasn't physical watching for the enemy coming. But he says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he pleaded with Peter to stay with him, to watch with the devil, to watch with him in prayer, that they could stand up strong against the devil when the devil will come and put into his thoughts and say, give up the cross. Forget the sufferings that you're going to face. And the same thing, the devil will come to you. It's not worth it. This marriage, this child, these people, they're not worth it. That's what the devil was putting into Jesus' ear. And when you feel like that, remember, this is what the devil has been doing for thousands of years. He knows your area of weakness. And that's why those areas need to be strengthened by being sober, by being vigilant. The next thing he says is to resist the devil. Verse 9, resist him. Be sober, be vigilant, resist the devil. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, this word resist is really an aggressive word. It means to fight. To fight. But it's a word that's more in the idea of protection. You are to defend the city. You're not to fight for the victory. That was accomplished by Jesus Christ. You're not fighting for the city. You are in the city that has already been captured. Your deliverance is not wrapped up in your strength and being able to fight against the devil. But your deliverance is wrapped up in the power of Jesus Christ, who came to destroy the works of the devil and set the people God had given to him in his city. You are to defend that city. See, the devil cannot control you, but you can certainly yield yourself to be used by the devil. And this explains why Christians can fight against each other. Why husbands and wives can fight against each other, because you give in to the devil and allow him to control you, to follow your to follow his inducements. How might you fight? You know, it's one thing to say in sort of an abstract way, well, resist the devil. Well, what does it mean? How do you resist the devil who will come and try to destroy you, to accuse you, to devour you? Well, you've got to fight with, and the Bible makes it clear here, resist the devil steadfast in the faith. In the faith. The faith that comes from God. Faith is your weapon. Faith is your shield. As Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, for which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. By the way, fiery darts. You get the idea. Fiery darts were not meant to simply give you a little prick here or there. Fiery darts are intended to destroy, to devour. And he says you need the shield of faith. There is sufficient strength in faith. And this faith comes how? This faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God and the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. So don't lose your faith. For the soldier is absolutely defenseless without it if he loses his shield. And the Christian should not be in that case, in that position, for it is very dangerous. What does that mean then? That means you need to get into the Word of God. You need to study God's Word. You need to meditate on God's Word. That's what creates the strength within you. You use the whole armor of God also, as we read in Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is how you're able to withstand against the arrows of the devil. James also reminds us that we need to resist the devil. And what is the result? He will flee from us. But again, resisting the devil is not doing these magical things. You've probably heard people saying, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. That is foolishness. You ever seen that being used in such of a mystical way? That's what the Eastern Church does. People who don't know the Scriptures. Sort of like some magic wand. You want to fight against the devil, know the Word of God. Remember Jesus. 3 times he was tempted for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in all 3 of those cases, he responded to the devil with quoting the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures were a part of him. He believed the Scriptures. And he was able to say, no, I cannot do this and sin against my Heavenly Father. Remember, that's what Joseph did when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. So the Christian life is a fight with the Word of God. It is not this, I will let go and let God. That sounds kind of spiritual, where you're just relaxing or giving, yielding yourself completely over to God. Well, God didn't say that. That's not from the Bible. The Scripture says, resist, fight, take on the whole armor of God that you're able to fight against the devil. So you don't say when the Sodomites take over a country and say, but we just trust God and everything will be okay. Or marriage is being destroyed and we say, oh, we just trust God that He will work all things out. Or 120,000 children are murdered each year. Well, we just trust God and things will work out. You know, the marriage, the divorce rate for Christians is actually higher than for the general population. You want to know who's destroying the family? Christians are. And that's what the devil will induce people to do. You need to fight against these things. Instead of fighting against it, the churches are becoming more accommodating. It's okay. First they say, well, homosexuals can come in church and they can be employed by the church, and then they can be members of the church, and then they can be deacons in the church, and then they can be elders in the church, and now they're pastors in the church. You see the way the devil works? Bit by bit. And it's in the church. Before we get mad at Parliament, and we have good reason to be, let's get mad at ourselves first. Because we become accepting of these things. We're sort of saying, well, that's not so bad. We'll accept that. The weakening of the church. When we accept women deacons and women elders, we weaken the church, but we weaken the family. After all, if a woman is over her husband, she can discipline her husband. That's not good. That's how the devil begins to work, bit by bit. You know, the abortion rates for Christians is the same as those who are outside of the church. This is what happens when we're weak in faith and the knowledge of God's words. You need to know God's word. You need to preach God's word faithfully and see it believed. You see, the battle is not with the men and women in Parliament. It's a spiritual battle. That's why we use God's words in fighting it, and we fight it. Remember what Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts or armies of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual battle first, and it's one that we fight. Not just say, well, we'll just leave you to yourself. That's your private matter. No. Poses a danger, we must fight against it. Coming to an end now, he says, be steadfast against the devil. Not only does he say, be sober, be vigilant and fight, but be persistent in the fight. That's what he says. Steadfast in the faith. Be determined. Be stubborn. And stubborn can be a good thing. Be unmovable as opposed to being drunken and staggering. Stand firm in your fight against the devil. And then he gives us encouragement towards the end. He says, other Christian brothers and sisters are facing the same thing. They've experienced these things. And he's really saying they have faced it and they have survived it. And therefore, you can too. Use your time, your energy, your wisdom, the grace of God, not to murmur or being disappointed, but to fight against the devil and being steadfast. One last thought before we conclude. This battle, he does not deal with this here, but Jude does. In Jude verse 6, we read, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. In other words, you will win the battle. You will win. the fight. You can lead a successful Christian life. God's words are always true. They never change. Let's summarize and conclude. Brothers and sisters, the devil is real. The devil is dangerous. He has been accusing the children of God from the beginning. He's a slanderer. He hates you but pretends to be your friend. He will come as an angel of light, using those people that you love and trust. Or he will come as a roaring lion, coming as your enemies. Maybe through the state. Through the Lord, judges. But his goal is simply the same. Whether through the nice people around you as an angel of light or whether through the government as a roaring lion, his goal is your destruction. He will not stop till the end of the world. Don't minimize the devil's danger, but equip yourself with God's word and his Holy Spirit to fight off the devil just as Jesus did. Fight the devil in your private life, in your family life, in your church life, and in your country. Fight, be on guard, be determined, be encouraged too, knowing that others have faced the same troubles and temptations, and they have won, and you can too. And know that you are never alone in the battle. When Jesus said, I'm going, he says, I will send my Spirit who will be with you. That's why Jesus could say, I will be with you till the end of the age. And more, know that you will win in the end. The devil will be destroyed. And you will be at the place where the devil is not. But right now, as we would say, this is the church militant. This is the church that is fighting. And we look forward for the day when the church will be triumphant. Let God strengthen you, brothers and sisters, to fight against the devil to his grace and his glory and for your good. But if you are not a Christian, you have no defense against the devil. Only the kindness of God can keep you from being totally destroyed by the devil. You have no word. You have no shield of faith to defend you. You have no Holy Spirit to preserve your life. You are truly in danger. You must come to Christ and come to him today. As a roaring lion, the devil will destroy you at his earliest convenience. My friend, you may not have tomorrow. I hope as we come to God in prayer, that you will say to him right now, I don't want to live in this danger anymore. I want to be your child. I want to be in that city that has been secured by Jesus Christ. And I will join and defend the city of God against the enemy and his host. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for those who have heard your words today, that you will work in their hearts the need for being on guard against the devil who seeks nothing but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that we would equip ourselves with the word of God, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit of God. That your word will so nourish and strengthen us and protect us from the fiery darts of the devil. We thank you that our future is secure. We thank you that we know what will happen in the end. But Father, if we are not defending against the devil, our Christian life will be so unsuccessful. We will live frustrated and bitter lives, constantly fighting. Well, we pray, Lord, that we will, instead of fighting against you, that we will rest in you, that you would equip us to fight against the devil, that we will indeed stand firm in you so we can stand firm against the devil. Lord, if there is one here today who does not know Jesus Christ, that they will say, yes, I want to be in that Christian family. I want to have God defend me by his word and his Spirit. For I am in great danger. And that as our gracious Heavenly Father, you will hear the call for help and grant forgiveness and declare him justified through the work of Jesus Christ. That all the obedience and faithfulness of Jesus Christ will be counted as that person's today. Continue to lead us in the week ahead. Impress these words upon our hearts that we will consider them and grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. At this time, we'd like to sing number 368. 368.